Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, partners of A New Thing Ministries. Kim and I are so excited that you have joined us this evening. I know personally I can't wait for her to share what she's been learning, and we've been discussing about first fruits. It has truly changed my life. So I always want to give her as much time as possible. So without any further ado, Kim, you take it away.
Thank you, Kalita. I'm excited. I thank everyone that's come on the call. We're so glad that you're here, and I hope this message will give you better insight. Ever since we've been talking about the Jewish calendar and first fruit and the months of the Lord, I get emails every week about people wanting to know more about first fruit and wanting to know more about the months, and we are happy to share with you what we've studied and learned. So as I was looking for the direction God wanted me to go tonight on this partner call, I was meditating on several different offerings, and I think it's amazing to me that there were so many different offerings in the Old Testament. But as I was studying, I received an email from a friend of mine, Karen Harden, and she was talking to me about something totally different than first fruit or offerings of any kind. But in the body of her email, it said, it was after God showed Abraham about the tithe, the first fruit, the free will offering, and the burnt offering. And Abraham gets it, he obeys it, and God blessed him abundantly. That day, that short paragraph that Karen wrote just jumped out at me. And I really felt impressed to the Lord that that's what he wanted me to share with you tonight. I was already going to talk to you about first fruit, but as I talk about these four different types of offerings that Karen mentioned, that God showed Abraham and Abraham began to obey, and we all know that Abraham was blessed abundantly. I really felt led of the Lord to share these four because they're different, and I think it'll give you a better insight and understanding of different types of offerings in the Old Testament. And again, there are many other different types. These are just the four I felt led to pull out and show you the differences in. First of all, she mentioned the tithe. Now, we all know that the tithe is 10% of our income, and it belongs to God. The Bible says that we cannot rob God. To rob means to take something unlawfully. So that's what it's talking about when it says we cannot rob God. It's talking about using the tithe unlawfully. Now, I know we are all redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, but no one has to tithe, no one has to give. That is simply your choice, but if you want to walk in the blessings of God and if you want to follow what His Word says, then you're going to have to study this out for yourself and make some decisions. I'm not going to talk anymore about the tithe because you guys are partners. You know about giving, at least to some degree, and you are givers to some degree. So you understand that the tithe is 10% and it belongs to God. The second offering that she mentioned was a burnt offering, and I just love what this one said. It said, what set this one offering apart was that it was the only one that burned all night until it was completely consumed, signifying a consecration to God with a continual burning, a symbol of an entire and perpetual consecration unto God. It was a self-dedication offering that symbolized being wholly consumed and set apart unto God. I just love that. I love that. A burnt offering is one that is wholly consumed and set apart unto God. Now, she then mentioned the free will offering, which is also called a peace offering in the Bible. It's part of the peace offerings. If you study peace offerings, you will find that it consists of a thank offering, T-H-A-N-K, a free will offering, and a vow. These three are all part of the peace offerings that the Bible talks about. And these offerings were lifted up before the Lord and they were waved. Sometimes you see it referred to as a wave offering in the Bible. They were given to acknowledge God as the supreme ruler and acknowledging that we are at peace with God, hence being called peace offerings, even and especially when we were imperfect. When people were imperfect in the Old Testament, they would give the Lord a wave offering or a peace offering. And they would lift it up and wave it before the Lord. And that would symbolize that they were at peace with God. The next offering she mentioned was the free will offering. And it's just what it says, free will. It was a sacrifice that was regulated by God's standard in the Mosaic Law, but it was completely voluntary. The free will offering was not always animals, grains, or drink offerings, as it was many times in the Old Testament. The first time that you'll read about a free will offering is mentioned in the book of Exodus when God had given instruction on how to build the tabernacle. Moses relayed to the people all the supplies that were needed for construction, and the people responded as their hearts were stirred. They brought jewelry and fine yarn and tan skins and silver and bronze and wood and stones and spices and oil. Everything that was needed for the building of the tabernacle they brought as a free will offering unto the Lord. Centuries later, the people made similar offerings for David to pass on to Solomon to build the temple. You can read about that in Ezekiel 46:12. Free will offerings are also mentioned as being offered in the millennial kingdom. And the thing I found interesting about this time, it said when he made a free will offering that it opened a gate. I don't know about you, but there are times I need something to open up before me. And a free will offering was one of the things that was given to cause that to happen. Now, like I said, whether it was the sacrifice of an animal or donated supplies for a place of worship, the free will offering was given freely as the Lord moved on the hearts of the people. It was not given to gain anything. It was not given because it was induced or forced or out of guilt. It was freely given from the hearts that were moved to give. See, way back in the Old Testament, God put something in his people that they knew they were to worship him with something that was a part of themselves, something that they had made or produced, something they had worked at, and they knew that as they were giving that thing, that it was symbolic of giving some of themselves unto God, and it was sacrificial. They never gave God their second best. At least they never did and received a blessing for it. You can read about that in Malachi 1. 7 and 8. And if you'll remember in the book of 1 Chronicles, David said, I will not give the Lord something that cost me nothing. So the people of God knew that the offerings to the Lord were supposed to be something that cost them something. They had worked at, they had produced, or something that was sacrificial. In their minds, if it was easy or convenient to give a certain amount, they would double it because only when it was sacrificial was it a form of worship. And like I said, they gave what was their money back then. They gave money, but they also gave animals and wines and jewelry and grain and flour, whatever they could give of their products for the labor of God's work. The Bible says, I love this part. As I was reading it, I came across this statement several times. The Bible says, everyone who was willing and whose heart was moved brought an offering. I have said this 1,000 times. Giving is a heart issue. The Bible also says it's the willing and obedient who eat the good of the land. And I saw that truth again when it would say, everyone who was willing and whose heart was moved. See, those are two things that you have to be before you're ever going to trust God with your finances. You have to be willing to do what his word says, and you have to allow your heart to be moved by God. If your heart's not moved by God to give, you're not going to give, and you probably shouldn't because that's part of it. It is a heart issue. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11 says, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully." Again, it's what is in your heart. And if you allow God to deal with your heart, he can give you a heart to give. That's just been on my heart for weeks and weeks. Let me continue to read in that scripture. It said, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And because you do, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and an abundance for every good work." As we allow God to deal with our heart and put his ways in our heart, not grudgingly, not out of necessity. You know, people should not be able to talk you into giving. It should be something that's in your heart that you want to give to the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your bosom." This is a biblical principle that we cannot get around or ignore. Now, there were so many different types of offerings in the Bible. I was just amazed. I said, "Goodness, Lord, it seemed like they were always giving us, you know, much of the body of Christ does not want to hear about the tithe or offerings of any sort." But God's people all through the Old Testament were giving continually. They had offerings for everything. But what I found as I was studying about this was their way of honoring God. And this was their way of keeping God first and foremost in their life. It was offerings of honor. And the first fruit offering is the same thing. It is an offering of honor. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of all your increase. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with new wine." This is something we give freely. I know, I love that scripture. Your barns will be filled with plenty. My daughter, last year, there was a drought here and no one had hay. And she had 4 horses and 2 miniature donkeys and she desperately needed hay. And she called me one night and she said, "Mom, I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to pray about this." And I said, "Brianne, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruit of all your increase. Then your barns will be filled with plenty." And she was so excited about that scripture. I know she had heard it before, but she began to stand on that scripture that her barns were filled with plenty because she was a tither and a giver. And I can tell you for a truth, her barns are always filled with plenty. The book of Deuteronomy tells us that the first fruit was given in thanks for cities they did not build. I know we've all heard that scripture that said God will give us cities we did not build, houses full of good things that we did not fill, cisterns that they did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that they did not plant. But did you also realize that that is connected to the first fruit offering? I don't know if any of you guys are believing for houses or cities that you didn't build, houses full of good things, but that is connected to the first fruit offering. And that offering was brought to the temple, and it was given to the priest for their sustenance. This is one of the offerings that most of them go into the storehouse. The Bible talks about take your tithe into the storehouse. This offering was given to the priest themselves to sustain them and to honor them as being a man of God. So when you give your first fruit offering, you can give it to a person who you want to honor as a minister in your life, or you can give it to the house of God. Even though Proverbs 3 tells us that our first fruit offering will be blessed with plenty, like we just read, it is always given from a thankful heart, just like I just talked about. Deuteronomy tells us that it was to be given in thanks for what God was about to give them. They had not walked into it yet. That's the beauty of a first fruit offering. It is what you're about to walk into. It is separate from the tithe. It was given from the first harvest of grain or the first of the male animals, whether human or livestock, they were dedicated unto the Lord. But the first fruit offering was given before the entire harvest at the very beginning, and it was given as a deposit or a down payment guaranteeing God's blessing upon the rest of the harvest, just like he told them, give your first fruit offering because I'm about to give you cities you didn't build and houses full of good things that you didn't buy. I'm about to give you that, so sow a seed into that. That's what I do every month when I sow my first fruit offering. The tithe is 10% of your income, but the first fruit is not a determined amount. It is an amount determined by you, and it reflects your expected harvest. Therefore, it is your responsibility to pray and seek the Lord about what he would have you to give. It should reflect the size of your anticipated harvest, but the amount you give is totally up to you. It doesn't have to be a big seed. But you have got to understand that when you give your first fruit offering, it speaks of future blessings. It calls those things that be not as though they were. It calls the end from the beginning, just like God does. That it literally means to make a new beginning through a sacrifice. It literally means that. It was a pledge of faith of the coming harvest. You can read more about that in Leviticus 23. They would bring wheat and bread as a first fruit. But just as Kalita told me today, she's been studying about declarations, and she said, she made this statement, first fruit summons our blessing and our harvest. Deuteronomy 26, when the children of Israel came out of the land that God had given them, they were to take the first fruit in honor of what God was taking them into. It acknowledged the fact of all things to come from God and to show their thankfulness ahead of time for his goodness. It was an offering of honor, and it is still an offering of honor today. Now, like I think I've already shared with you, and like most offerings, this was given to the priest to sustain him or support him. But just as in Bible days, some gave their first fruit of their harvest in fruit and vegetables. And today I have noticed that when I watch some of the first fruit services at different ministries, they will bring in the first of their harvest in fruits or vegetables. They'll bring in the first of their canned goods. I saw one woman bring in her first lemon on her new lemon orchard. Some people bring in first book. Some people bring in their first sewing project or their first computer or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be big. It just has to be the first and the best because it signifies putting God first. And in doing so, it ensures that everything else is blessed. Again, it speaks of your future blessings. Kalita and I have talked about this before, but I desire to live a first fruit life, to give God the first of each year, the first of each month, the first of each day, the first words of my mouth every morning when I wake up, to cultivate my life to be a first fruit life, that I keep it in my mind and I keep it in my heart to give God the first of everything that comes across my path. That's why I participate in the Jewish calendar and the monthly, the beginnings of each month, and sow my first fruit seed, my first fruit offering at the beginning of each month, because I want to give God the first of each new month. I want to give him my best at the first of each new month, knowing that it is my deposit and my guarantee of a blessed month in God. It is my pledge and it is my promise of the rest of the harvest for each month. And as I've studied this over and over, I see evidence of favor on the first fruit offerings as well as many other offerings. But this one is simply to honor God and to honor the man or woman of God and to let him know and remind myself that he is first in my life and he gets my best and he gets my first. And it's my way of letting him know ahead of time, God, I'm thankful for what you're doing. We just entered into a new month of Av, and And as I sowed my first fruit offering, I said, God, I'm thankful right now for what you're going to do in this coming month. I know that you have nothing but blessings for me in this coming month, and I sow into that today, Father. I give you my best, and I give it to you now, God, in honor of you and in honor of what you're doing in my life this coming month. And you see, when I do that, I expect to have a good month. I expect to have a blessed month. I expect that as I honor God, he will honor me, because his word says, whatever I sow, that shall I reap. So as I have begun to honor him with my first fruit offering, it has truly been life-changing for me. It has been a blessing financially, but even more than that, as I have continually acknowledged him as first in my life, the increase of revelation in my life has been great. The increase of peace in my life has been accelerated. The increase of him opening up the word to me has been awesome. And even I shared a little bit about my week last week. A year ago, that would have absolutely devastated me to lose all the work that I had put into future books and future projects. It would have been devastating to me. But I have so established God as first in my life through these first fruit offerings. I have so established him as first that was my first thought. Not, oh my word, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to fix this? I've got to get another computer. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. That was no longer my first thought. My first thought was, okay, God, help me walk through this in a way that honors you and that brings you glory. Help me continue to give you thanks and praise ahead of time for what I know you're going to do. I know you're going to bring me through this. I know you're going to bring me out of this. I know you're going to restore. I know you're going to give back. So help me to keep you first and to think of nothing else. And it has not been easy, but it has been 1,000 times easier than it was before I began constantly acknowledging God as first in my life. And to much a degree, I have done that through giving him my first fruit offering. It has just taken me to a new place in God. Don't know how to explain it. I don't fully understand it. I've never fully understood how fasting works, that you fast food and God just breaks you through into something else. I've never understood that, but I've seen it work. I don't fully understand the revelation of first fruit yet, but I am seeing the fruit of it. I am seeing the manifestations of the fruit of it. So I don't have to fully understand it. I do it by faith. But as I continue to do it by faith, God continues to honor me and bless me and keep me in perfect peace. Well, I hope that has explained to some of you guys that had questions about first fruit. I hope you have a little more understanding of that. And we'll send you out the notes tomorrow. Kalita, would you like to add something?
I would. I have the benefit of having your notes in front of me, so I cheated a little bit. But I didn't get a chance to look over them today. And one thing that you said stuck out at me when you said, it's like God wants us to worship him with something that's a part of us. And yes. I thought of, you know, when you have a little child that brings you a gift, they make in Sunday school or at school, and they bring that something that they made. They are so thrilled to give that to you. That must be how the Lord sees our gifts, our first fruits, when we bring him something of ourselves, when it's a true heart issue. That's how he sees us. And that, to me, that just spoke volumes to me tonight.
Sure.
I can't wait to go through all of these. I'm going to have to really digest it and all your scriptures on here. But the other thing I was going to say is, you know, last night Kim and I were talking about the call tonight, and I said to this, what if everybody that is on the call, what if they become first fruit givers? And we don't care where you give the first fruit. That's not even what we're talking about. But the freedom that comes when you are a giver of first fruits. Like Kim said, we don't even understand it all, but, you know, I don't understand where in Habakkuk it says, write the vision and make it plain, and it comes to pass, but it does. It works. And I think that all falls under, he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. So I think that's awesome. The other thing that comes to me is, you know, this month of Av, if you study that month out, it's traditionally been a difficult month for God's people. And as I know this now, I can't imagine not giving my first fruit because, you know, when you give your first fruit at the first of the month, it like you said, it's a deposit on the rest of the month. When you give your first fruit of your first harvest, it's a deposit on the rest of the harvest. So I am truly thankful for that because we don't know what's coming up, and he's always with us, sure. But I just thought that is just so awesome. Knowing what I know now, I would never want to miss first fruits. I don't ever see myself going back because it's like revelation. And then Kim and I were also talking earlier today, you know, not everybody will get first fruits. Not everybody will do it. She, you know, 80% of the body of Christ doesn't even tithe. I think it's the statistic in most churches is 20%. But I said to her, I said, you know what, it's a remnant thing. Not everybody will do it, but it's a remnant. And for those who are seeking to go deeper, they will get it. And not only that, but if you're just going along in the body, just doing whatever, everything's going to seem same old, same old. But when you're digging deeper and you're going further, you're going to be in unfamiliar territory, which is where we are. And those of you who joined us tonight, that's where we are. We're in that unfamiliar territory, but it's okay because he knows right where we're going. And if we do our first fruits, like Kim said, in the morning before you get out of bed, it doesn't even have to be anything major. Just, I love you, Jesus. I'm setting my day upon you today. And it's that easy. It's truly a heart issue, and I am grateful. I thought until probably last year when I began to talk more with Kim about this, and she connected me to some things. Every year when I would get a raise, I would give my first raise on my check to my pastor. That was the extent of my first fruits because I didn't understand all that was out there for me, but now I do, and I am so grateful and so thankful because the Lord he's just awesome. So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for setting us up for a blessing. Father, you set us up to succeed. We simply have to choose. And tonight, Lord, we choose. We choose to take these words and meditate on them. We choose, Lord, to honor you. Father, we choose to be a people of remnant, God, the remnant that seeks after you, that goes deeper, Father. We choose to honor you in our giving always. But, Lord, as the word went forth tonight about first fruits, God, I just thank you that every partner that heard and that every partner that's going to be listening to the replay, Father, that you will begin to speak to their hearts, Lord, that you will show them what they need to do, where they need to sow, Father, in order to set them free in even a greater measure in their finances. That as we give our first fruits, it is calling things that be not as though they were. As we give our first fruits, because we're putting our complete trust in you, Lord, all the things in our heart that we desire, that first fruit is saying, come here, come over here, come to this household, come over here, come houses, come lands, come to this household, come to this person. And Father, we don't even do it for that, but look at the blessings that you have given us, Father, because we honor you with our heart and we honor you with what you have given us, Father. So tonight, God, I just pray for every partner listening, God. I thank you that you are showing each one of us the way. You are blessing us for doing things your way. I thank you for their giving. God, may you give them a hundredfold increase on all that they've sown, not only just to a New Thing Ministries, but as they sow to their churches and to different ministries, Father God. Yes. And Father, we just ask you right now that you would begin to give us deeper revelation on your giving, on your heart, and on first fruits. And we thank you in advance for the testimonies that will be coming, God. We just know it's happening even now, Father God. And we just thank you, we honor you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I wondered how this was going to work out so I could totally switch to a different thought process, and I thought I would be the one to be praying first, so I wasn't sure how that was going to work out, but I should have known. God already had it worked out. As I was praying before the call about how to pray for the partners, yes, I pray about how to pray, the Lord just led me to something that was just written maybe 45 minutes ago by Johnny and Lo, and here's what he wrote. We are in a huge, huge breakthrough season. Great promised land is available, and I love that we just talked about that God had them give in advance to the land because he was giving it to them. But anyway, great promised land is available. Breakthrough does not mean challenges disappear and that there is no more opposition. Forget breakthrough, meaning things are unopposed. Rather, it is the realization that the enemy and the opposition has been softened and is in a very beatable posture. If you will rise up in faith, vision, and courage, like 85-year-old Caleb did in Joshua 14:12, when he demanded he be given the land of the sons of the giants. His breakthrough consisted not in avoiding a conflict, but in volunteering for a ground-taking battle that he easily won. Breakthrough is the name of your courage. I just love this because I think in the body of Christ, we think breakthrough means there will be no opposition or we get past opposition, and that is not true. It does not mean that you will be unopposed, but it means that you come to a place where you know the enemy has been softened to such a degree that he is beatable easily if you will rise up in faith. And I believe that is where we are today. I believe that we are in a place where God is saying, we hear it every single day, breakthrough, 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 and people are wanting relief, but we've got to stop that, guys. We've got to realize that we are the ones that will break through. We are the body of Christ. We hold the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that have to stand up in the midst of the conflict and volunteer to take our ground. Be like Caleb at 85 years old and say, I am still well able to take my land, God, and I'm taking it today. And he easily won. So that's how I want to pray over our partners today. Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you, God, that great promised land is available to us today. Everyone listening to this call, now or later, great promised land is indeed available. We are not afraid of the opposition, God. Rather, we rise up in faith, knowing our enemy is easily defeated because greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. We thank you, God. We ask you, Father God, I ask you to put a holy boldness in everyone listening to this call that they will rise up and they will volunteer to take their ground this week in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to give each person listening to this call boldness and cause the gift of faith to rise up in them, God, that they would take their land this week. They would not sit down or cower under the opposition or the enemy, but they would rise up in faith and take their land. God, I declare breakthrough. I declare breakthrough, God. I declare breakthrough for every person listening, and I declare they breakthrough into their land this week, Father. I thank you, God, that an anointing for breakthrough is released right now to every person listening to this call, and they rise up and they take their land. I thank you, God. I praise you for it, Lord. I thank you. We're going to hear testimony after testimony because Jesus Christ already paid for their testimony, and we're going to hear it this week in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's all I got, Talita.
Listen, partners, we're so glad you joined us this evening, and watch your email tomorrow. We will send out the playback information. I'll have Kim's notes in there as well. And also, please let us know if you enjoy these calls, and we are looking forward to your first fruit testimonies. So have a great evening, and we will see you next month.